from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
The
Real Monty here. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
You're listening to
95.7
The Game, the morning roast.
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It's good to be back. Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Hey, by the way, I didn't say good morning to all the graveyard shift workers. I didn't say good morning to all the security guards. I didn't say good morning to the overnight dancers. At New York City buzzer.
Stop! Oh. Stop it!
Just leave it at that. No, I didn't go to a strip club.
I live with these people. I love these people. They're part of my family.
They are part of my family. Good morning to everybody out there, including our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. All right, you're just waking up. And by the way, I got to tell you about the drinks, the Honey Deuces at the U.S. Open. Oh, they're hitters. They are hitters. Got to get to the U.S. Open, Shasky. Got to get you to Flushing Meadows.
I got Augusta a little higher on my list currently, but that's okay.
That's fine. Good luck. Augusta's on my list. Trust me, I'll make my way at the Masters one day. Wimbledon, French Open, Roland Garros. I'm on my tennis hype right now, though. Coco got bounced. I can't believe Coco's unforced error. I think 60 unforced errors could serve us all bad. Shout out Brad Gilbert. Shout out Willie. They hooked me up, man. Anyway. If you're just waking up, Trent Williams is back at the facility. He's about to sign a new deal. Brandon Ayuk is going to hit the practice field today. The locker room is open for reporters. They're going to talk to all these players. Oh, by the way, Christian McCaffrey, he's been cleared to practice as he gets ready to roll for Monday Night Football against the New York Jets. And most importantly, Ricky Pearsall is doing great. After an unfortunate situation Saturday afternoon in San Francisco, Union Square, he got shot in his chest, but it was a flesh wound. Hopefully he'll heal up. He's going to be out the first 4 weeks, but he is still alive. He is still breathing. He's been released from the hospital. So good news all across the board for the 49ers over the last 5 days. After it was all doom and gloom, Shasky, everything is all right with the 49ers.
Yeah, the good thing is that the young man is going to be, it sounds like he's going to be good to go. And, you know, poor guy is lucky to be alive. I mean, he's lucky for a variety of reasons. And that's the real life stuff. You know what I mean? And now we transition in awkwardly to the football stuff, where the team has to keep moving on. And life moves on. If anybody who's ever been through anything, you know, you realize life keeps churning. And getting Brandon Ayuk back, thank gosh. Getting Trent Williams back, thank gosh, for the regular season outlook of the 49ers. And now it's everybody got to focus for a Jets team that who knows what they're going to look like. I do know this. When the Niners are fully healthy, they're a really good team. And so to have Christian McCaffrey back at practice, today's going to be the first real practice day getting ready for the Jets.
Game planning.
And like you, I enjoyed that sampler platter of college football over the weekend to get me ready for the NFL year, baby.
College football is just, woo! I mean, yeah, Penn State, it was. Penn State looks good this year.
Yeah, quarterbacks.
Penn State's finally got a quarter. Yeah, they got a quarterback. They got some receivers. Penn State looks like they're going to be the truth. They look sick in that all white, by the way. There's some best. Call me an all white guy you want to. Put the no names on the back of the jersey.
I mean, you're going to
the blue, US Open. The blue sticker. Dude, I'm telling you, man, the Penn State uniforms. They popped in West Virginia. They punched West Virginia in the mouth.
And we didn't bring it up yet, but, you know, my guy Riley Leonard and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish winning.
That was a good win for them.
That was a really good win.
Texas A&M, everybody picked Saban and company, picked Texas A&M. By the way, I'm going to fade McAfee. I'm going to fade him because even before the Florida State game.
McAfee was faded.
Well, he was faded.
That's the thing you're missing.
But McAfee, before the Dublin game when Florida State got their asses kicked by Georgia Tech, and I was on a plane watching that thinking, damn, it's how vacation's starting. McAfee goes right before the game. You know, I was feeling like Georgia Tech could pull off the upset. But I just watched Florida State warm up, and I saw their pregame warm-ups, and let me tell you, that's a very – hey, there's no way I'm picking against the Noles, and they get the ball ran down their throats, and they lose the game in Dublin. Saturday at Texas A&M College Station. You know, I was thinking about the Fighting Irish. I drank all these Guinnesses, 32 Guinnesses in Dublin, Ireland, and my grandfather, Western. I said, I'm rolling with Notre Dame, and then I saw this big-ass flag, and I saw College Station, and he took the Aggies. And I'm like, you know what? Let me just fade this guy. Nah, I didn't bet week one.
There is a guru-like quality to
there
McAfee.
Is, right?
Where he cups his ears to the crowd like he's Hollywood Hulk.
I'm off. I'm out.
Yeah, or I guess prime Hulk Hogan. Like, what does the crowd want? I'll give him that.
I do like Nick Saban, though. I do like Nick Saban on College Game Day. He's good. Him and Belichick, man, they're so good on TV.
Football's back, dude.
Football's all the way back.
How many fantasy drafts tonight?
Oh, I had I had one last Thursday I did
five,
in Philadelphia.
Not six, not
actually,
seven.
The day I signed, I had to draft in Philadelphia, and I felt good about that.
Okay. Online?
Online, of course. Now, they had a Zoom up, but I didn't do the Zoom. I was
too big for the Zoom, huh?
No, I'm not too big for the Zoom. Okay. Just, you know, my computer can only hold so much.
What was the point of the Zoom if you're doing it online? Just to see everybody?
Yeah, I guess because people don't get together.
Gotcha.
Whatnot, you know, so that's the point.
That's why live is live.
It's an option. Some people did it live together. Yeah. I think Harry Bearzen and DC and company, they did it together, and then they had to Zoom for other people. I was just on the draft. I was in Philly. And then had a draft last night. Now, this is going to be funny. So I thought I had
I'll
two drafts yesterday.
I'll be the arbiter of whether it's funny.
Well, you're going to laugh at me. I guarantee you're going to laugh at me. So I had two drafts yesterday, and I thought one was at 7:30 and one was at 9. So I'm ready for the 7:30 one, right? Boom. Get the draft done. As soon as the draft's over, I go over to ESPN. It's like, all right, where's the draft? My team's already set. I'm thinking, what the hell happened? My computer was on East Coast time zone. So the draft was at 6 p.m., and it auto-drafted for me.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a no.
Yeah, I'm not happy. But the team does look good.
It's bothering me.
Jamar Chase, Michael Pittman Jr.
Stoney was in the championship last year with an auto-draft.
A.J. Brown, Anthony Richardson, Aaron Rodgers, Sam Laporta. Not a bad team. Not a bad team. Jaylen Warren. Not a bad team. But I was disappointed. Auto-draft, man. Come on. Joke's on me, right? Ha, ha, ha. So, no drafts today. Draft season's done.
Yeah, I give you number one pick overall in fantasy, and you have to choose a Niner.
That was Christian McCaffrey.
Without hesitation?
I mean, what?
That's who I got number one overall in the 95-7 The Game Fantasy League.
And you picked him?
I did, yes. It was not that hard of a choice.
You kind
of
have to. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I had the number one overall pick in another league last year, and I made the wrong decision. I was not going to do that again.
Yeah, it's tough for me picking Niners because every time I do, I feel like I curse them.
I never really pick Niners, and I don't have a Niner on my team this year. But if I had the number one overall pick, why wouldn't it be Christian McCaffrey?
Well, it's interesting because Ayuk was falling in a lot of drafts because of this whole situation, and I got him really late in ours. I was like, you know what? Screw it. Like, there's the values there. I was like, I'm just going to take this
thinking
guy.
He'd be a Raider.
Right? Well, no, not even. No, that'd be worse, actually. That'd be worse. I do not want him. Yeah, for fantasy.
That's why I didn't take Davante Adams.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to take Davante.
I did get Brock Bowers.
No, Brock Bowers you should be taking. Yeah, he's going to get a lot of touchdowns.
He slipped. Yeah, I do like Brock.
But he kept falling. I was like, I'll take him. I was like, I don't feel great about it, but we'll see. Then he signed 2 days later. Then I feel awesome about it. I think. Ayuk's gonna be fine. You guys worried about him at all?
No,
like week
no.
One, anything like that? No.
So when he signed, you guys saw the video. I'm in the hotel room, and I was fired up. Like my guy Ayuk signed, because you know what? The process of everything, and I get fandom. We lose our minds. Michael Irvin said it best yesterday. I was watching It Is What It Is with Cameron and Mace, and Michael Irvin said, you know, since I became a fan, it's a roller coaster. He goes, when my team loses, I'm done with them. I'm done. And by Thursday, I'm back at the altar saying I do. And so I get fandom. And with that said, the whole Ayuk situation, it made people crazy to where we underrated Brandon Ayuk. We underrated him. The guy was a second team all pro last year, and we underrated him, saying that he's just replaceable, he never sees double teams, blah, 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 blah. And the minute he signs, I saw how many people were smiling. And then Baldy comes out with the breakdown the next day, the Super Bowl breakdown. And it kind of validated everything I thought about Brandon Ayuk. So I'm excited about him to see what he does. Now, will he receive for over 1,300 yards? I don't know. They have so many weapons. Who the hell knows? But can he go 1,000 yards again? Absolutely. 3 years in a row going over 1,000?
I mean, those that he should. It's like 60 yards a game. I mean, I think he should do that pretty effortlessly.
But no, it's a little different on this team when you have this many weapons.
I know,
weapons.
But it's 60 yards a game. I mean, come on. If he maintains a 15, you know, yard per catch average, that's like 4 or 5 catches, he should be able to do that no problem. I think he'll be more prolific than that. I think the majority of right-minded people think that he's a really good player. And so the team is way better with him on it. And he really fits what they want to do in terms of route running, creating separation, you know, contested catches, his synergy with Brock. A lot of people wanted him. I think the way that he went about it might have rubbed some people the wrong way.
I don't know.
We poke holes in people's game when we think they're out the door. You know, like Eric Armstead right now. Eric Armstead was a really good 49er, you know. And when he's not on the team or when he's injured or whatever, people start coming up with all the criticism of a player's play. I think the majority of people think that your team is better with a player of that caliber.
Well, that wasn't the tenor of the conversation all offseason when it came to Brandon Ayuk. What you just said there was not the tenor of the conversation with most Niner fans that called this show and the conversations we're having. I heard a lot of, he's replaceable. He's just another dude. He's not a top 10 wide receiver. He's not worth the 28. Just play for the 14. Blah, 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 blah. Like, keeping the faith right here on YouTube, for example. I'm happy Ayuk is back, but I'll keep it 100. I'm booing him out of the tunnel Monday night. Now, like, come on. Like, that was the conversation for so long with Brandon Ayuk. So now it's all good, you know, and I think we're all happy that he signed. We got our number one receiver back. We got a rapport with Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk, and let's roll. So that makes me feel great. That makes me feel great, and that makes me feel great that the Niners are going to have this offense back in wholesome, trying to go to another Super Bowl and trying to win one, for crying out loud. Let's go to the lines. Let's go to Tyler in San Francisco. Tyler, what's happening?
Gang violence. My boys, we are finally back. How do y'all feel, Tyler,
do me a favor. Let's retire that front end stuff, just given in light of everything that's going on in the world. And here, let's just not bring that up.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Shout out White Boy Rick. Get well soon, my boy. Real quick, two things. I had the first pick in the draft last night. I took CeeDee Lamb over Christian McCaffrey. Did I make the right decision?
Wait, who'd you take? CeeDee Lamb over Christian McCaffrey?
I took the Lamb.
Yeah, that was dumb. That was dumb.
In a 1 point, it's 1 point per reception, bro. He was the leading fantasy player last year.
I don't care about your fantasy team, Tyler. I don't care.
Just flush him.
I don't care. No, what you got? What you got? Get to the call. I don't want to flush you, man. You've been good to us. You better get to it.
It doesn't mean that you can't get flushed.
If Shanahan makes it back to the Super Bowl again this year and loses for a third time, which would be our fourth time in most modern Niner fans' history, should he be on the hot seat or fired?
What do you think, Tyler? You think he should be on the hot seat or fired?
If you lose, hey, Bill Belichick won 7 Super Bowls, or 6, sorry, 6 Super Bowls, and he doesn't have a job. If you lose,
Nah, it's time to flush you, Tyler. We got to flush you.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
Your call's not good. It started off on the wrong foot. It didn't end well. You need to contact Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain at flowingwater.net. I mean, come on. I mean,
you know, one of the things I always say is read the room. Read the room a little. Not you.
In terms of Shanahan?
Tyler. No, Tyler. Just read the room.
Oh, the gang violence?
The whole call.
I mean, well.
The whole call. Just read the room.
I mean.
Now, back to Shanahan. Do I think Shanahan's polarizing? I do, Bonte. I think he's really polarizing.
Should he be on the hot seat?
No, that's a little too far.
The guy's 54-29 over the last 5 years, and he's 8-4 in the playoffs.
There's no doubt. But, like, look, he's really good at what he does. You know, can he get over the hump? And, you know, we could talk about the margin of victory, like meaning like how slim the margins are that create wins and losses, right? Literally a bounce here, a bounce there, and the Niners are looking at an entire different situation. I mean, you could say that during the Harbaugh era. You could say that during the Shanahan era. I think he's really, really, really good. But I know that there, for a lot of people, I took a lot of calls last week, and I don't agree with this, but for a lot of people, it's like, wow, wow, like, is this guy ever going to get over the hump? And that's a different question than is he on the hot seat. It's so like, is he going to break through?
When you asked, we'll get to Nick and Berkeley in just a second. When you ask people, hey, if I say Shanahan, you say what? What were some of the answers? I'm eager to hear. Spinotti, you got it?
Well, we cut up an entire sound of people, you know, giving their answers. And these aren't just like the hand-selected ones. This is just in a row.
Oh, you got, do I have it here? Oh, okay, all right, let's get Nick and Berkeley. Nick and Berkeley were scrambled back there. Nick and Berkeley, what's happening?
Hey, man, first of all, check this out. First of all, the Niners, we don't care who you are. We don't care about the Jets. The J is for joke. They're not relevant. It's like you say, Bonte, there's levels to this, man, and they're not even on our level. We're about to pull the plug and put them out of their misery in the first game, bro. All the little dreams that's getting shot down. I mean, they don't even have their own stadium. What pro team doesn't have their own stadium, for God's sake? It's ridiculous. No wonder they're garbage, man. They're just going to sweep them under the rug. Shanahan, if you want to win, you're letting your hair grow out, man, rock some cornrows and really shock the crowd. Feel me? You know what I'm saying? That's how you need to roll, Shanahan, because you go to all these parties and you friends with Lil Wayne and all that, man. Have Lil Wayne's hairdresser twist you up or something. And check this out, man. Why not us is what I'm talking about this year. Sasky, stop worrying, bro. There's no more worrying. Don't talk. The word scared should not come out your mouth, because you know what? They're not popping no more champagne in Miami. We about to go undefeated. Why not? Why not? Game by game, play by play. Why not? Why not? We've been through every possible game in ridiculous circumstances in every game, all these losses. And Shanahan, in the 2019 season, we almost went undefeated. Like, it was like three games, like this little fluke plays on special teams that we lost games. Dude, it's the sloppiness and the little things. Know the rules, Shanahan. Don't tune out. Stay with us every play. Don't disappear for 12 plays.
Nick, I need you to call back Friday to hype us up. Friday, give us a call back Friday.
I'm not mad at undefeated.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd start with winning the West and work my way up to, you know, number one seed.
I'd like to start by winning September the 9th.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I mean, just to start. So I want to hear the reactions from. So when you asked the Shanahan stuff.
So the question was very simple. Yeah. We had a five-pack of questions. I actually thought it was a really cool exercise. I'd like to incorporate it more often, where we asked the callers five questions, and they had to answer them in rat-a-tat-tat form. So it was like, I say Kyle Shanahan. And you say what? That was what we said. So if we do the exercise, Bonte, I'll say it to you. I say Kyle Shanahan, and you say what?
Hell of a head coach.
I said winner. You know, he's a winner. He's been here 54 and 29 or whatever it is since 2021, and he's a winner.
Yeah, hell of a head coach. Right. Hell of a head coach. One of the five best in the NFL.
This is what the audience said. When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
Tortured genius.
Wow, I love that answer.
That's beefy.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, Connie, you say what?
Mastermind.
Ooh, I like that.
Not mad at that.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
Plays to not lose the game instead of win the game.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
He'll get you to the end, but scared.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
Trying to be a guru.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
Scheme master.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say?
Hot seat.
Oh, man.
Hot seat.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, Robin, you say what?
I'm going to say poor judgment at times.
Poor judgment at times. I like that. When I say Kyle Shanahan, Kev, you say what?
Aging football savant.
When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
I'm going to say he's bullheaded. I mean, he gets in his own way a lot. He doesn't play as he's supposed to play. I think he's bullheaded.
The biggest threat to the 49ers in the NFC is what team?
If I got to go with a team, I'm going to say Philly. My sleeper team would be Captain Kirk. But Kyle Shanahan is the biggest threat.
Damn.
What did you think of those responses?
It's kind of funny. Some good responses. Now, I agree with a few of them.
I do, too.
In some of these big games, he does play not to lose. That's why it shocked the hell out of me when he decided to go for it in the Super Bowl. And he hit George Kittle on the out route. I was like, what? This isn't Shanahan-like. But he does get a little conservative. He does get a little conservative in big games. Now, he's been a lot of big games. Maybe it's the quarterback, which is why he's held back. But then again, I think, well, if it was a quarterback, why the hell did you dial up four pass plays with a minute 49 at the 49-yard line with three timeouts in Super Bowl 54 against the Kansas City Chiefs? I don't get that. So, I mean, he does tend to get in his own way.
Poor judgment, I actually thought was a very interesting one from Robin, because I think there are times any coach, like Bruce Bochy, there are things that he's done, even though we all think that he's the mastermind and he could do no wrong in the playoffs. There are things that he's done where he's had poor judgment at times. It happens. You show me a coach with a long legacy and who's been coaching a long time, I'll show you a lot of losses where there are all these little decisions leading to a loss that all looks like very foolish.
Well, I mean, you could say those same things, those answers from all those callers. And I heard the first caller.
Torture Genius was an interesting one.
Very, yeah, of course you loved it. You love everything out of VPA's mouth. Where is VPA? How's he doing? I'm kidding. Laugh a little bit. Smile. You could have said the same thing about Andy Reid. Those answers from Shanahan, about Shanahan, you could apply those to Andy Reid before he won a Super Bowl.
How about Dusty Baker?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, I'm trying to think of guys that were really, really, really successful.
Couldn't quite win a big one. Exactly. Beat themselves.
Could you say that about, to a degree, John Elway as a player?
Absolutely. As a player, John Elway. Absolutely. Absolutely. He didn't win until Mike Shanahan got there and he had a running game. And he had gotten blown out in Super Bowls. The Bronco teams, wow, they got destroyed by Washington, the Giants, the Niners. I mean, they were getting blasted.
Could you say the same thing about like a Clayton Kershaw, per se?
I still think you can say that about Kurt Clayton Kershaw.
Right?
John Madden in the 70s.
John Madden in the 70s.
He won that Super Bowl. So you could apply those to a lot of guys who just don't quite win it yet. And so that's where Shanahan's at right now. And that's why Peter Schrager from NFL Network believes that Kyle Shanahan has the most riding on this season, which is a wild statement.
Because
let's be real. If the Niners did lose the Super Bowl, let's say hypothetically they lost again.
It'd be devastating.
You're not going to fire Shanahan.
No, no.
Who the hell's going to come in and replace him?
I don't
know. Unless you're getting Sean McVay.
I mean, Bonte, well, there's about four coaches that I would even consider.
Right.
Even consider in the NFL. That means there's 28 others that I'm not even thinking about.
Like, you guys want to bring up Lincoln Riley from USC? You want to start that rumor all over again?
Well, he just figured out defense.
I agree. So...
Although that, what is his name? Miller Moss.
Miller Moss looked good.
Those three receivers look pretty sweet, too.
Hey, but Miller Moss is tough. He's tough. Hopefully he's not just any other USC quarterback, but Miller Moss is tough.
He looks, during halftime, they interviewed him on ESPN of last night's game, and he looks like USC Santa Monica.
No, he does. He wanted to be a USC quarterback. It was a really good montage package they had on him growing up, how his mom worked at USC and stuff, and he loved the Trojans. By the way, the Trojan horse, what's his name? With the sword?
I don't know.
The turf? It was not good.
I have to admit, this song hits on the television when it's playing Max.
Have you ever been to a USC game in person?
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You hear this? It feels like college football. Told you what Logan Murdoch and I did at Cal Berkeley. The USC band was there in the corner. We ran over and started like we were conducting a band. I almost wore my Matt Leiner jersey today. That's how good I feel about USC right now. And that's how bad I feel about Florida State. Damn. Gotta watch that. Please. Hopefully today Mike Norvell says, quarterback change. All right, what's coming up in the game brought to you by Free Bob Bake, celebrating 60 years of full-service baking with no compromises. Your phone call is 888-957-9570. Does Shanahan have the most riding on the season? If I took away Shanahan, who would have the most riding on the season? I think it's Nick Bosa, and I'll explain why on the other side.
All right, Sam.
Oreo cookie from Oakland, California. And it's plain to see, you can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
This is Joss. This is Joss. Good to have Spadoni back. Good to have Lubman. Oh, Lubman. I haven't heard from Lubman much today. He's in a good mood. I mean, that either means he's in a good mood or it means the Giants are done. Can we just 2 minutes on the Giants? 2 minutes on the Giants, please. Folks, I think there's going to be good news when it comes to the Giants. I think that good news is coming September 30th or October 1st.
All optimism, baby.
Yeah, I'm optimistic that there will be a regime change. I mean, there's no way you can bring back Farhan Zaidi. You just lost a series to the Miami Marlins at home.
Gabe Kapler revenge series.
They had that game on in they had a game on at the casino in Philadelphia. It was Stanford and TCU, and then it was the Giants and Marlins, and they had the Angels and Mariners. I was like, damn, West Coast baseball today. Ugh, rough.
In one inning over the weekend, it was like a microcosm of everything that frustrates me with the Giants.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Logan Webb has a comebacker that he missed. Like, he just, you can't get two unless right. You get one properly. Yeah. And you got to make a good throw to second to even have a chance to get the guy at first base. And he just throws a high and almost like to right center field. And Fitzgerald's coming across the bag. He can barely get the first out, let alone the second. And then a guy hits a ball to Michael Conforto. And Michael Conforto just like kicks it, boots it. Yeah. Then McCray picks it up. And I'm not mad at the young man, but he's throwing home. It's like hit the cut. There is no first baseman. Lamont Wade is nowhere to be found. He's supposed to be the cut in that situation.
Hit the cut.
He's nowhere to be found.
Shout out Papa
Shasky. And Logan Webb is in the middle of no man's land. He should be back beyond the third baseline, being ready to back up third or home. He cuts the ball off. Runners go to second and third. Next pitch, boom, 3-run home run. I'm like,
dude. So
who's who of mistakes.
I mean, Friday night, thank the heavens that Matt Chapman hit the 3-run double in the 8th inning. You could have been swept by the Marlins. Not to mention, you barely scored in Milwaukee. And here's the problem. In the month of September, playing all these good teams, starting with Arizona tonight, and you got the Padres, you got the Brewers.
One of the hottest
teams. You got the Padres,
baseball.
You got the Brewers again. I mean, excuse me, the Diamondbacks again. You got the Cardinals at some point. Oh, you got to go to Baltimore, and you got to go to Kansas City. I like saying Baltimore. This is going to be a disaster in September for the Giants. And your young players that we thought were pillars. Patrick Bailey had one of the worst hitting months in the history of Major League Baseball. One of the worst hitting months in the history of Major League Baseball, Patrick Bailey.
But if you've been watching for the last 2-3 months, you could see this coming. Not to this degree, but you could see the drop-off coming. What did I say to you last year when he was batting way above his minor league averages? And then, like, FP was like, well, some guys just hit better in the bigs. I'm like, well, no, I get that, but not 50 points higher. 50 points higher?
Well, you know what? I don't care how much he's played, fatigue or whatnot. It's historically bad. Now I don't even know, like, damn, is he going to stick around the big leagues in the next 5 years? Hitting like that? Looks like an automatic out. Hell, he is an automatic out. And then, Ramos.
Ramos
is fading a little bit, too.
No, I know, but he's
still hitting with power, but he's fading a
little bit. On this team, his batting average and his power numbers are above median.
On my bingo card in 2024, I did not have Mike Yastrzemski as your second best outfielder.
I mean, I don't think highly of Conforto, so I mean, I guess I could see it.
But that's my point, Shasky.
No, but he was the starter heading into the year.
But my bingo card, I did not have Mike Yastrzemski being my second best outfielder on the Giants. Somebody else is going to have to step up. Matos, Soler,
Jungle Lee.
Somebody, not Yaz, but that's my whole point.
Yeah, but you knew Yaz was going to start at least 100 games.
Lashasky, that's my whole point. He's the second best outfielder of the Giants, which says a lot about the Giants, is that he's, Mike Gostynski, out of all players, is your second best outfielder. So how the hell do we expect to compete in the National League West and the National League if Mike Gostynski is your second best outfielder? And I like Mike Gostynski. I think he's a good fourth outfielder, and he hasn't had a bad season, but he's your second best outfielder. So my point is, he cannot be your second best outfielder and expect to compete in the National League.
Well, Bonte, just to add on top of that, I mean, Matt Chapman having a great year, but he's been the Giants' best player on a championship team. He's probably their fourth, fifth, sixth best player. I mean, that's where the Giants are.
Championship team, he's a seventh hitter.
Maybe, yeah, but the point is he is just to put a bow on this, like, he is being put in their cleanup spot and expected to be the guy who's going to drive this team. That's just not the kind of player he is right now, and that's what the Giants were, just a supporting cast without a main driver, and that's what they've been for the last 3 years
now. I like Matt Chapman a lot. I really do. I want to see him remain the Giant. I do. I really, really do. I think Matt Chapman, you could build something around that. You can bat him, slot him six. You got to get some other guys in here, no doubt. But I feel I'm a little hesitant to overpay for him.
Did you hear what Dave Fleming said about Matt Chapman?
No, what did he say?
Oh, you didn't hear?
No.
He thinks he has an outside chance to go to the Hall of Fame.
Okay. I love you, Flem.
That's a take.
I love you, Flem.
You didn't hear that either, Sam?
I didn't hear that.
What was it that he said was the best defender he'd seen. I did not see the Hall of Fame one.
He said that on his show?
Trends, and, you know, there was a lot more into it. It wasn't just, he's an outside.
His argument, because he joined Chasky now, his argument was basically that if you look at his WAR right now, it's going to, if he stays on the same path, he's going to finish with all other Hall of Famers within the same WAR.
And if you look at it, Scott Rowland really screwed this up. Yeah. He should have never been in the Hall of Fame. Like, I don't think Scott Rowland's a Hall of Famer. I think Scott Rowland, if you look at the body of work, he was a better, batting average hitter than Matt Chapman. But the power numbers, Chapman, he's got to play another 8 years at this level.
Right.
He is on trend to be near Scott Rowland in terms of power numbers and defensive numbers. But I don't think that Rowland's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I don't. When I see Matt Chapman, I don't see Hall of Fame.
I don't either.
Hall of Fame doesn't scream at me.
Could you write the history of the game without Matt Chapman?
I think you could. But
I agree with you there.
When the extension talks came out, I'm thinking, damn, Scott Boras, Matt Chapman are talking with the Giants about an extension? Smells a little fishy. They know they could get over our Farhan.
Farhan.
And get overpaid.
I wouldn't let Farhan sign anything.
So,
or anyone.
So, listen, in a way, this is a good thing, right? The Giants fading away. I do believe September 30th, October 1st, we're going to get some good news on Farhan, which means he will be relieved of his duties. I don't know where. I don't have any sources on this situation whatsoever. I'm just trusting my big old gut right now that you cannot bring him back. The crowds are going to dwindle. Eyes are already venturing elsewhere. I mean, seriously, are you excited to watch the Giants tonight?
I'm excited for Monday night against the Jets.
There you go. Aren't you excited? Kansas City and Baltimore plays on Thursday. The Packers and the Eagles are in Brazil to play on Friday. And then Saturday morning we wake up and there's the Texas Longhorns invading Ann Arbor, Michigan, to take on the Wolverines.
I can't wait.
So, and then, like, the Giants are out of sight, out of mind in the month of September again. So I do think there's going to be good news. And so Matt Chapman, like, that's the thing. Patrick Bailey's historically having a terrible stretch. Historic. I mean, it's awful. You see the splits? Oh, my gosh.
I don't even want to spend this much time on them because I don't think they deserve it. But one last point. Yesterday was Labor Day.
They didn't even have a game. This is the best part about Labor Day.
Yeah, but what is baseball doing? Like, college football owned the weekend. You could have owned Monday. You had no primetime games on. You had nothing on television. It's another miss by Rob Manfred.
Well, I'd rather watch Florida State get their brains beat in by Boston College any day of the week. Now, I got to tell you, I was energized about baseball when I went to a Yankee game. And I was like, it's twice now I've seen the Yankees. Twice this season I saw the Yankees. And I've watched Aaron Judge hit four home runs.
Yeah, well, that's what he does.
I mean, how many home runs does Lamont Wade Jr. have?
He's on pace for like 65 or 70 home runs. I'm not Lamont.
How many Lamont?
Aaron Judge and Soto have like 90 home runs combined.
What is Lamont? How many does he have right now?
Four. It's like three or four.
He's got three or four home runs. I've seen Judge in
two
games.
But he gets on pace.
I've seen Judge in two games hit four home runs.
All right.
I mean, hold on. So, hey, we'll move on from baseball. But have you ever been to a game where you've seen bat to bat to back?
No.
Soto, Judge, and Stanton went back to back to back. This is after Judge hit a three-run bomb in the first inning. Back to back to back. And even then it goes, wow, this is amazing. Yankee Stadium was in a frenzy, Shasky. It was like being at the NLCS watching the Giants in the rain beat the Cardinals. I was like, what the hell am I watching here? And then you check the Giants score, and it's like, oh, they're losing 5-1. They're losing 6-1. They're losing series to the Brewers and the Marlins. So, all right, 2 minutes is up.
They should have traded Doval, and it's just...
They should have traded everybody. They didn't do anything.
Oh, so now they should... Okay.
No, they should have sold or bought. Buy or sell. They didn't do it either.
I know.
I just stood pat saying, yeah, we got the best rotation in baseball. And by the way, Jordan Hicks is on the IL. Robbie Ray's on the IL.
And just fire it.
And Alex Cobb is getting standing ovations in Cleveland.
So here's the question that I have. I'm sure there were, what, Aaron Judge jerseys 5-1 of any other jersey out there?
Oh, my gosh.
How many?
Well, they had a lot of old school jerseys, okay. Number two, yeah, and they actually honored the 2009 World Series team that Sunday.
Oh,
and
they were giving out replica rings out there. Standing ovation.
Yeah, they had replica rings and everything. And
so when you go to a Niner game, you're going to see a lot of Jerry's and Joe's jerseys. Who do you think will be the number one jersey of the current players?
It's going to be Brock or McCaffrey.
I think
Brock McCaffrey or Bosa.
Bosa, yeah, yeah.
Brock McCaffrey, Bosa. By the way, Soto, born to be a Yankee. They love him.
Yeah, of course.
They love him. Yeah. He talks to the fans all the time in right field. They love him. They're going to give him anything. Damn, it must be good. Felt good to be a Yankee fan for a day. Beating up on the Rockies. Anyway, Bosa. So we bring up jerseys and Bosa and McCaffrey and Purdy.
Now that I think about it, because he's been on the team the longest, it might be Bosa.
97, and he's got the big contract.
Yeah.
How many number 11 jerseys will you see?
Oh, I have gave my nephew one earlier, like this summer. So I think there should be a lot. I wonder how many brand new Debo number ones will be out there.
Oh, that number one is hard. It is hard. Number 19, Jacob Cowing, took that right off of Trent Taylor's back. Give me that. Give me that, Trent.
Please don't get hurt on the practice squad.
Oh, my gosh. But Nick Bosa, out of all the players, I think he has the most riding on this season.
Even though he's well paid, compensated, will be here for essentially as long as he's good, he's here.
He has a season like he did a season ago. And all of a sudden, the overpaid talks are going to ratchet up. The noise is going to ratchet up. And they say, this guy's getting $34 million a year. I think Nick Bosa has to be, not only for the football team, but for his whole reputation. He has to be in a Defensive Player of the Year conversation.
That's a lot of pressure. But I think if you're looking at a guy who can live up to the pressure and be able to dominate and doesn't need all the others around him to be able to dominate, wouldn't it be a defensive end in the system that they're in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a lot of high hopes for Nick Bosa. He's a hell of a defensive end. He's a hell of a pass rusher.
What's the number you're looking for in terms of pressures and sacks?
It's just, again, I can't put a number on it. I don't want
to
do that.
See, I think he needs to be near 20.
Well, you know, he agreed to that extension last year, right? Worth a record $170 million. 5 years, $170 million with $122.5 guaranteed dollars. $122.5 guaranteed dollars for Nick Bosa. Whether it's 20, 15, Shasky, all I need is him to be in the top five conversation for DPOY. He has to be. And if he's in the conversation, then that means he's getting a lot of pressures. He's forcing intentional groundings. He's forcing holding penalties. And he's getting the sacks. And he's getting, and to take another step, he's getting sack fumbles. Now he's forcing turnovers from this position. So if that all equates to being the DPOY or being in that conversation, then so be it. But in my opinion, Nick Bosa has the most riding on this football team, and he has to be in the DPOY conversation.
Do you know how many sacks he has as a career regular season right now?
Where is he, around 60?
53 and a half.
53 and a half?
So if he gets, you know, about halfway through the season and he's having one of his kind of years, he'll be able to pass Charles Haley and be in the top three all time
for
sacklers. Even though it wasn't a recorded stat until 82, you know, you got a bunch of Cedric Hardman, number one all time, 108. Bryant Young, 89.5. Mm-hmm. Tommy Hart, 72.5. You got to believe if he has one of his kind of years, he's going to jump into the top four, top three. All time already. That's pretty incredible.
Do you think he has the most riding on this season for a player?
I think that he's the linchpin of the defense. And if the defense is top five-ish, they can weather a lot of storms and a lot of issues, whether it's injuries or just underperformance of the offense for whatever reason. So, yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you don't win games without a balanced team. You got to have offense and defense. And when I look around the NFC and I say, like, who are the best defensive players in the NFC? Nick Bosa's on a very short list. Very short list. So not only does he have to have a game-wrecking, monster-like season, he's got to carry this defensive line. And if he has a big year, then that opens things up for Leonard Floyd. And that opens things up for Javon Hargrave, who's a high-paid guy needs to showcase himself.
Now, he's on the short list for guys who need to have a monster season.
Well, I look at it this way, B. J.J. Watt, what separated J.J. Watt? He wasn't just good for 3 or 4 years. He was good for a decade. What separated Aaron Donald? He's good for a decade. What separated right now T.J. Watt? He's been good for closer to a decade than 5 years. That's where Bosa needs to trend. If you want to be an all-time player and a first-ballot Hall of Famer, you got to do it for 10 years at a high level. And J.J. Watt, year in, year out, with no one around him, carried that defense.
No, not only that, though. Longevity does matter, but also forcing turnovers. It's the one thing that Bosa hasn't done as much as force fumbles. Like TJ Watt gets around that edge. JJ Watt got around that edge. Aaron Donald got through the middle, and they forced fumbles. They forced interceptions. They forced deflections. Now, I'd love to see the numbers Bosa in terms of forcing not only fumbles, but what about intentional groundings? What about holding penalties? Because those matter to me. You get a situation where guys, holding on this right left tackle, number 97 forced to hold. Now all of a sudden you're facing, instead of first and 10, you're facing second and 10. Second and 20. Down the distance is now in your favor in the NFL. When you can get that going in your favor, all of a sudden your defense looks a lot better, right? So forced fumbles, how many does Nick Bosa have over the course of his career?
He has 10, which puts him 7th all-time, tied with Justin Smith. Shockingly, John Engelberger is also tied with him, which is a name I would not have had up there.
Shout out Virginia Tech.
But it sounds
Tech.
Like a more modern stat because I don't see any of the old-timers on here. Willis, all-time number one forced fumble, 16 in Niner history of a recorded sack, of the recorded stats. Charles Haley, number two, 14. Bryant Young, 12. Ahmed Brooks, Chris Dolman, Fred Warner. 11, Nick Bosa, Justin Smith, Roy Barker, and Engelberger all have 10. Navarro Bowman and Ronnie Lott, 9 and 8. Right. That's kind of crazy.
Yep.
K'Wan Williams is 13 all-time with 8.
Wow.
See, like, that's a very interesting number. Tackle for loss, he's really high as well. Like, tackle for loss, he's already number 2 all-time. The only guy ahead of him is Bryant Young.
Yeah, but I see 72 tackle for losses over the course of his career. Last year, 35 quarterback hits. The year before, 48. The year before that, 32.
I mean,
his rookie season, 25. He's got 141 quarterback hits. So if he could get that number back up to 40, not asking for 48, if he could get up there 40, and you give me some forced fumbles. He's got 4 forced fumbles over the last 2 years. He had 4 in 2021. If you give me about 4 forced fumbles, I think that's the next step for Nick Bosa because I think he's going to have to carry this defensive line, especially early and often, getting around that edge. Now, Javon Hargrave is another name. And then, of course, Brock Purdy on the quarterback side because we've got to figure out what he's going to get paid. But I think Purdy's going to be fine. I think Purdy, as much as people talk about him, he's got an easy job. Hey, just give Ayuk the ball. Get Debo the ball. Get McCaffrey and them. Let the Yak boys do what they do.
Don't do too much. That's kind of, just stay within yourself. I think he does a good job of doing that. The Bosa thing is interesting. I mean, they spent so long waiting for that kind of like game-wrecking defensive end. And he was amazing. Last year was not like, it just, on the Bosa level, it just wasn't even close to it. And like almost, you're talking about fans being fickle. And I feel like the team was frustrated with Bosa too. I really do, because you know when you're building the personnel around someone, you're expecting that guy to play a certain way, and when they don't play a certain way, it puts a lot of stress on other aspects of a defense, expecting it to kind of, you know, do your job, the Belichick thing. And I just think if Bose is looking in the mirror, I bet he said, you know, I didn't do my job enough in my eyes, what I think I could do.
I think he admitted that. Obviously, Baldy said it, and we heard it from him. But I also think what added to that fire, or to that fuel of fans and players being frustrated with him, is when he spoke out about the defensive coordinator. Now, he ended up not being the only one. And we get it. Steve Wilkes, he's gone. He shouldn't have had the job in the first place. He did. They had their struggles. But when he started making the excuses saying, well, you know, I've been experimenting with things and this and that and slow start, people don't want to hear that.
No.
After you held out and you got $122.5 million guaranteed. We're all cool with it. I know I was cool with you holding out. Just say, show up to Pittsburgh. And I don't want to hear no excuses. And midway through the season, when the Niners had to face some adversity on a 3-game losing streak, we got nothing but excuses.
Well, that's what I don't want to hear from Ayuk and Trent.
Well, no doubt. I think they're going to be fine.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, if we're hitting week 7, week 8, that's when I'll be like, all right, guys, well, wait a minute here. Like, it takes two to tango.
I don't want to hear anything about excuses.
Yeah.
They're going to hold out, and you're going to get your money, because I'm all for players getting their money in this league, in the NFL, because I know how cutthroat it is. But I don't want to hear the excuses. I don't want to hear it. And that's the thing that I think got people kind of looking at Bosa with a side eye like, really, dude? And then the image of the Super Bowl. When I'm hitting you on the shoulder saying, why is it Bosa in the game? It's the last drive of regulation.
What's bigger, the demand you're asking for Bosa, like the general fan?
Right.
Or the absence of Greenlaw?
Well, we don't know about Greenlaw. It's kind of going back to Javarius Ward, right? When they asked him, are you guys going to miss Brandon Ayuk? He goes, well, we haven't played a game yet. That's where I'm at with Dre Greenlaw. We haven't played a game yet.
They've done a good job finding linebackers.
They do, all the time.
But this is a different player. He's a tone setter.
He is a tone setter. They missed that juice in training camp.
I'm really worried
about it. They missed this juice in training camp. But D. Winters, I think, brings a lot of juice. And playing next to Fred Warner, I think you get that juice up. Now, Devondre Campbell is somebody, oh my God, Devondre Campbell, I think he's going to get his job taken early in this season.
You do?
Because I think D. Winters is that good. I think he's that good.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do at linebacker. I know that they don't play a lot of three linebackers, but the second linebacker is vital to Fred Warner's success and just the overall team speed. When Dre Greenlaw's out there, their sideline-to-sideline speed is almost unmatched.
Yep.
When he's not out there, you could tell they took a huge step back.
I mean, it is.
Oren Burks and they just weren't the same.
Dre Greenlaw is massive. There's no doubt. The juice, hitting the helmet before the game, jumping around, some late hits. He's nasty. And you need, like, who's the coach say, well, you can't have all choir boys on this team?
Well, it was my favorite Parcells is you got to have players with character, and then you got to have characters that play.
Exactly.
And I thought that was such a great line.
And he's true. Yes. He's right. Lawrence Taylor, he's a character, but damn it, he could play.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Mark Bavaro is kind of a character, but damn, he could play. Jim Burton, oh, he's a character. Fred Dean, he's a character, smoking cigarettes in the locker room, but Hacksaw, you know what?
Reynolds.
He can play. You know what I'm saying? So who has the most riding on this season in terms of a player? Not Shanahan, but the players on this team. Is it Brock Purdy? Is it McCaffrey? Is it Trent Williams?
What if I went a little deeper and I said someone like Diawan or Lenore?
He does have a lot riding on it.
You know, he's got a big contract that's facing him in the face. He's a defensive player. We know that, like, cornerbacks, very much like a pitcher, can have an elite year and then just drop off, or vice versa. So, I don't know. I find him to be a very interesting player this year.
The vibes are high right now, Ninerland. The vibes are high. We're feeling it. We're feeling good. But we're going to pull some sound here that Lubman just sent to the thread. It's Spinoni. Let me know when you get the sound, because it does concern me a little bit when I see a quote like that. And I want to hear the context. Check the thread and play the sound. If you have the sound, I want to hear it. All right, Lubman, you just sent it. You literally just sent it to the thread, Lubman. It was just.
Well, I say you check the sound. Like, there's a lot of sound in our
thread. Yeah, but
so.
No, but the sound.
I see it. Yeah, it's in there. We got it.
All right.
Well, now I want to hear it.
We'll play it.
There's a lot of, like, ambiguous words there. So.
Well, I was just saying, the sound you just text, I want to play it. That was the first thing I said.
We'll get to it.
Lubman, you ain't skipped a beat, bro.
You need to skip a beat. That's the problem. Rolando in Napa. What's happening?
What's up, guys? I'm about to go into work right now, but I want to put in my two cents, man. You guys are talking about the Giants, quote the Undertaker. Rest in peace. Move on. They're dead. Wake me up when they fire Farhan. Get back to red and gold. I was talking to your screener. Niner needs to step up this year. Brandon Ayuk. He held out for money. He got the contract. Now you better show up on Monday night, and you better score some touchdowns. And I don't know if you guys done this, but I got two crazy NFL season predictions.
I would love it.
I'm a fan right now. All right, here we go. First one.
Number one.
Brock Purdy will lead the league in touchdowns this year. Mark my words. He will do it this year. Another one. Nick Sirianni will be fired this year from the Eagles. Major implosion. Lock it. The Eagles suck. They're trash. We stomped their ass last year. They're a dumpster fire. So those are my two predictions.
All right. I love the Sirianni one, but here's where okay, now I'm going to get into warrior mode. We want them to be just good enough to where they keep Sirianni. Because the last guy I want going there is Bill Belichick.
You know where Bill Belichick's going? I think he's going to Dallas.
You think he's going to go to the Cowboys?
I think he's going to work with Jerry Jones. I don't know why. I
would he pay Dak $75 million?
Probably not. He'll just go draft Shador Sanders.
I of all the combinations, Sanders and Bill Belichick go together.
Hey, man, Shador Sanders and Dallas.
Well, Bill Belichick, Shador Sanders, and Jerry Jones, too, on
top
of that.
Bill
Belichick's ready for that.
No way.
The new Belichick. Belichick's dating a 25-year-old, for crying out loud.
Did you see the picture that was circulating?
No, what picture?
There was a picture. It was like, look who showed up to my nephew's football practice. And it was Bill Belichick standing on the sidelines of some upper New England game of a bunch of like 13-year-olds, and he's there with his 20-something-year-old girlfriend, and I was like, this is awkward.
Dude,
do you just walk up to him and be like, what's up, Bill? Just a little head nod?
Or no, you do the coach. What up, coach?
Yeah, you gotta go coach.
What up, coach? Coach, what's good? Hey, coach. Good on TV, coach.
If I'm coaching that team, best believe I'm making my way over to Bill and being like, anything that you see that I'm doing wrong, please let me know.
Or
just give me any kind of advice, whatever you think.
No, because then you're opening the door for him to come to all the film sessions.
That's nothing wrong with that.
All the practices, and then he's taking your job.
He's not taking your 13-year-old job. He's,
well, that takes him away from the Dallas job.
I mean, what are you doing? Yeah, like, nope, can't do it. I'm coaching Pop Warner.
Saban as a D coordinator, Belichick as a coach for the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, that's a bold take. Saban's not going to last the season with McAfee.
Did you see the video of him and McAfee this weekend?
Yeah.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.